All right, welcome back to the Language Behavior Podcast. I'm Joshua Stamper. We've got Charlie Peck. And Charlie, I just want to jump in here real quick and say it was so good to see you in North Carolina. And it was so much fun to have our session together with the Language of Behavior and to see so many awesome educators, but also so many of our friends.
I know. It's so neat when we get along and get to meet up in person and get to interact. And it just, well, of course we're going to get along. That's probably not the right thing to say. get to be together.
Yes.
But it's like, it's collegial, right? And mm-hmm. we don't have that when we do the work we do. And so it's so nice to just come together and see each other in person. I love it.
I know. A lot of the folks we didn't see since Florida last year when we got together. So
right.
It was great to see everyone in North Carolina. And what a brilliant organization. So that's NCMLE in North Carolina. And I mean, they were great hosts. And of course, we had some really fun sessions that where we got awesome responses from the educators. So it was so great to see everyone and be a part of that. Charlie, you've been there several years. This is the first time I've been there. So it was great to experience that. But I want to jump into our question.
Yeah.
And so it looks like this one's coming from something we talked about in the last episode. So if you joined us for that, we talked about compliance. So this one's, it says, do we need compliance when we work in a school system, or don't we need compliance when we work in a school system? So what comes to mind, Charlie, when you hear that question?
Wow, that's a heavy question.
Yeah, right?
It's heavy. Because we do have to have some sort of rules and regulations in place so that we don't have to be in a state of chaos. We do have to have some kind of order when we're working with a group of people in an organization anywhere at any point. That's why society is made up the way it is. When we're talking about behavior, this is what's so different. Compliance doesn't equal the learning that we want to see. Compliance ignores the nervous system. It ignores the language that the kid or the human, the adult in the system is trying to convey, like what the message is. And so what compliance actually does is it creates power struggles. Now, do we have to have expectations? Yes. Do we have to have kids accountable and adults accountable for their own actions? Absolutely. Absolutely. So anytime we talk about it, we're never saying understanding behavior is giving people outs, is giving people a reason to misbehave. It's about understanding what needs to happen so that we can actually learn, engage, and want people to show up in the system. So if it's all compliance based, it's just ignoring what is really going on behind the scenes. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just think, especially when I was an administrator, my teachers, I heard this a lot, was like, there are so many bad kids. We're having so many issues with the student class, like this grade level or whatever it might be, right? Fill in the blank as to the large statement that occurs based on, honestly, if you look at the data, a small percentage. So typically on a campus, if you're looking at referrals, it's around 8 to 10% of your campus. And a lot of times between those 8 to 10%, you have your frequent flyers, the ones that have persistent misbehaviors throughout the year. And because of those persistent misbehaviors, what the perception is that it's a large amount of students and a lot of student behavior. And what I would come back to with our staff was that I would bring the data and show them that typically it's between 90 and 95% of the students that come in every single day are making the right choices and right decisions and are being successful. As the year goes on, we feel beaten down, we feel stressed, we feel like we don't have control sometimes. But when we are looking at the data, it's just a good reminder to understand that it is a small percentage. And what are we doing with that small percentage so that we can decrease the misbehavior and to, of course, have that teach piece. So I think when we're talking about compliance, I think most folks are compliant and most students are doing what they need to do in the school day. And so it's just about the power struggle. So for instance, when a student is escalated, what are the non-negotiables for compliance? For an administrator, what do they always say? The first priority is safety. So you got to make sure that that student and the students around them are safe, right? So I think in that piece, that student needs to be compliant in the sense that they're not harming anyone physically and that the educational environment is safe for everyone that's in that building. So I think that's probably the first piece. But beyond that, I think there's a lot of creativity and leeway for our educators as far as what are our non-negotiables? What are the hills that you're willing to die on? And I think sometimes those small things that we are asking for a child to be compliant with are really not that important. I can give a lot of examples of like a kid running off campus, or unfortunately I had a kid try to lay down in traffic. Like that's mm-hmm. obviously a non-negotiable yeah. because of the safety and well-being of that child. Like we have to act in that, right? If a child is trying to be physical with another child, you know, like those things as far as safety, those compliance things, like that's a non-negotiable. But I think, for instance, having a conversation and trying to move that child to the front office when that conversation could happen right there in the hallway or outside or wherever the child might be, like that's another example of like, that's not really something that has to be a compliance situation. That in fact is going to be what you said, probably going to be a power struggle. And then it may be a escalated state where it's going to take more time.
Yeah, a lot of things pop up in my head here. It's because, I mean, again, as a teacher, I mean, I was a classroom teacher for so many years, and you don't want any disruption, right? You want things to go smoothly because it feels better for us. And also we need to be accountable for teaching, and we need to be accountable for having control of our classroom. It's kind of like parenting. It's like when you're out in public and your kid loses it. I mean, we know what that's like.
I don't know what you're talking about. My kids are just perfect angels out in public.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Right. No. And if their tone is too loud, or if they have movements and all eyes are on you. And it's so hard. I just told this to my audience last time I did a keynote. I said, I feel like a terrible mother. I'm a much better teacher and therapist than I ever was a mother. And it's because it's so painful. It's so painful. And people don't tell us that. And teachers feel the same pressure, especially in a classroom where you're supposed to control it. And here's the thing, you can have compliance, but the problem with that is constant compliance is the solution piece rather than structure and predictability. There's a difference. Compliance rewards that short-term control over the long-term outcomes. If we want a whole thriving system, it's about the long-term outcomes. And that predictability over time is where kids and adults will learn to behave within those guardrails. But that takes time and effort to put into place in the first place, just like parenting. So if they do have that predictability, they'll know how to operate within that every single time if it's consistent. So it's tough because you get to schools and they go from one class to the next. And if one teacher has rules in their classroom, it looks very different in another classroom. So you're right. You got to go back to what hill are you willing to die on? What are the non-negotiables? Start there. Start with one. Don't start with five. Start with one.
Yeah. And I think the sense of power too. I think there's a misperception or misconception of what that should look like. And Correct. Again, if we're looking at the fact that majority of students are not going to have these severe behaviors. And if they're witnessing a child that is escalated, maybe are doing some insane things, I know that the perception is that, oh, if you don't handle it right there in this moment, that the rest of the students will think that this is the appropriate behavior and will do the exact same thing. And that doesn't happen. And there's plenty of data to show that. So I think that the perception of power, I think you just need to maybe reframe that and see that that's not going to go away anytime soon. So like you can still have that conversation in the hallway, or you can still have that conversation at a later time when everyone's de-escalated. Like it doesn't have to be in the moment where everyone's heated. I think too, just the calmness, like if the idea and the goal is to have the best relationship possible with that student, if the goal is that they're going to, in the future, when they have the exact same thing happen, they're going to make a better decision moving forward, then I think that reframes how we react in the moment.
Yeah. And let's not forget, we are trying to teach regulation skills, flexibility, communication skills. We're looking for patterns. We're trying to disrupt the pattern with these things instead of just complete compliance. I mean, compliance, we all know it's important to have rules and regulations in a system. So I think we reiterated that. Yeah. So there's more to it, but I think that makes sense.
Totally. All right. I'm going to throw in a behind the banter real quick, and then we'll close this down.
Okay.
All right. So I want to know when you first became a super fan of your favorite sports team. I know it's the Bengals, but when did you become a super fan?
Very early in life. I probably was in fourth grade. I loved Ken Anderson. He was our quarterback. And I remember trading cards with my best friend's brother because there were McDonald's cards And Ken, he had Ken Anderson's. I'm like, can I trade mine with you? And I knew that was a big deal. So as early as I can remember, and Boomer Esiason lived near me, like lived near where I grew up. And we went over there. My dad's friend knew, like lived right down the road. So we all went over Boomer Esiason's house, hung out in his backyard and played with his dog. So it's a fond memory. I'm a huge Bengals fan.
So cool.
Couldn't guess.
Boomer Esiason. Yeah, that's huge.
It's awesome.
Oh man.
He's super nice too. Super nice guy.
So we moved to Minnesota when I was 10, and the Minnesota Twins had just won the World Series like the first year, or maybe the first or second year that we were there. And that was kind of my first Minnesota, like really got into a sports team. And then I started to tune into like the Timberwolves, and I started to tune into the Vikings. But the Vikings, I didn't become a super fan until Randy Moss and his rookie year. If you remember, he just went crazy that year. Set a record for rookies and touchdowns and just was insane. And
I actually
was in college that year and became an usher for the Vikings. And so I got to see every home game in the 98 season where they went to the NFC Championship. Anyways, it was amazing to see. So I haven't turned back since then. All right, looking at the time real quick. Charlie, do you want to close this down with a last thought?
Yeah, I do want people to remember that like a compliant response treats the behavior as an intentional defiance rather than trying to understand what skill is missing. And kids want to do well, don't forget. Kids want to do well. So let's try to help them build the skill. But we don't have to tolerate things that aren't safe. That's not what I'm saying. Just keep that in mind.
Of course. All right. Well, if you need anything, our websites are in the show notes. Of course, there's some freebies in there too. And then we cannot wait to see you again next week. If you have a question, let us know. Otherwise, we will see you again real soon.
Bye, guys.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and a podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.